It's cute, right?
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, I think we found our new theme music. Excellent. It's about time.
The generic guitar that came with the switchboard is finally getting put to rest.
Rest in peace.
Work.
It did us right for
It did. It served, it served its purpose.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. You hated it.
I hated it. But I'm a very irrational person. Like, I irrationally hate a lot of things.
You're allowed to have feelings. This is a safe space.
I'm not allowed to have feelings.
Welcome to the Thought Light Podcast.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jim Silvestri. I am from the Thoughtacy.com website that gives you a daily listing of your queer New York City nightlife events. We are here for episode 3 of the Thought Lights. And I'm speaking to my favorite coho as of 3 weeks.
Oh.
Freddie Cosmo, how are you doing today, Mr. Cosmo?
I'm doing good. It's been a week already. Yes, I recognize that we tape this on Wednesdays, but oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
I got coffee.
You got coffee.
So we're going somewhere with this.
That's right.
We're going to switch to wine a little later.
Yes, absolutely.
Obviously, when the mood is right.
Yeah. So I don't mean to make too fine a point of this today, but you were late. But that's okay.
I was late. I was absolutely late to work today.
The only reason why I said that is because you actually missed a naked person. Like, how many people in their jobs can say that they missed a naked dude?
I'm having a weird sort of time. Yesterday was like weird at work. I don't know why. I keep like missing like fun stuff.
No.
I drank a little too much Casadores last night, so I'm just like, I'm a little ugh.
That's okay. Hey, we'll continue the legacy tonight. I'm sure you'll see more naked people.
Oh, yeah.
But no, we walked in today. We were led in by our boss's brother into the studio, as per usual. I was with my guest, who was on time. And we saw a naked person in there. And he was like, oh, hey. I was like, oh, hey. It was one of Daniel's co-partners that are opening this Red Eye facility.
Yes.
For the public.
Opening this fall.
Opening this fall. You don't see my air quotes.
No. But it's happening.
But it'll happen eventually, and it's going to be a great space. So we're actually really looking forward to it. We're going to be doing live podcasts downstairs on stage as soon as that happens.
In front of a live studio audience.
If you're ever like, oh my God, I'm so turned on by these voices. I have to see these sexy bodies.
Everyone is turned on by your voice, Jim.
Yeah, we'll end the sentence there. Absolutely. One thing that I always look forward to, Freddie, let me tell you, I know it sounds like I'm about to go into ad copy, but I'm really not. It's just the way I talk.
I go into ad copy all the time. It's fine.
I'm looking forward to what we're going to do afterwards today.
That's, I think we're both, like, it's sort of like a tradition for us, because then we get to talk and like talk about how we're going to make things better and where this is all going, but
absolutely.
Also alcohol.
Also alcohol, that never hurts.
Yeah.
Last week we went to the spot and that was fun. We saw Brenda's show.
It was
Brenda
so
Darling.
Much fun. Yeah, I hadn't seen Brenda Vision. Yeah. I've been fortunate enough to do shows with Brenda in the past. It's always a blast and a half.
She's wonderful. She's such like a pro and she's so entertaining.
And just such a light, just such a bright spirit, both on and off stage. Yeah.
And there was a lot of extra things happening in the bar that night. There was like a lot of people giving her requests to songs that she had no idea. I think she came in with 2 songs, and then suddenly she got all these like $20 requests.
She did, and that was sort of the night. It was very like choose your own adventure. I think she had like literally 2 numbers, and if I remember correct, everything else she just asked the audience.
Yes, and then like the boss was there, and he was
like
yelling
like an
at
hour
her
and
to
half.
Do things.
Like,
it was like
this went on for like an hour and a half. Like it wasn't like a quick 30-minute thing. Like
it was like 1986, like house tracks. So she's like, "All right, do it." And she did it. She just like she moved her mouth.
She just went through.
She twirled around. Yeah. So she put on a show. So
shout out to Brenda Darling.
Shout out to Brenda freaking Darling. We're gonna have you in the studio soon.
Love you.
Then we went to Ninth Avenue Saloon, and that was fun. I'm so happy that Ninth Avenue Saloon is back.
I didn't realize it was on that side of the street, so thank God you were with me, because I would not have found it.
That's always been the legacy of the saloon, is that you can't find it.
Yeah. Like,
it's very hard to find. It's a weird thing.
But it's sort of one of those spots, right? I feel like when I used to have a party over at Atlas, we would, like, everyone would go for the late night at Ninth Avenue Saloon. Am I crazy? I just feel like a lot of people would hang out. Well, I was drunk, so maybe I'm
No, totally.
Mistaken.
It's like That's where incognito nightlife folks go when their night is over. That's why the place is always hopping. You know,
at like 3:30 in the morning. Yeah. It's like still like boom, boom, boom.
My little game night was so over on a rainy Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, because everything got rained out in the city yesterday. Yeah.
It was pretty busy.
Okay.
Surprisingly, but it ended quickly. People wanted to get home.
Yeah.
So I went to the saloon and it was packed.
We got a lot of loyal followers there. So yes. And it's the day right after the holiday weekend.
Yes.
I had a really, really busy Labor Day weekend. So, you know, I think we were all trying to like catch our breath a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yesterday.
Speaking of catching our breath, let me segue awkwardly into telling our listening audience we have a very fun special guest in the house.
Very fun hair.
As he looks around back and forth looking for who that person is.
Yes.
He has blue hair. He has a very beautiful shade of blue hair today. It's really intense. You just did it today, right?
Yesterday.
Monday.
I don't know what day it is anymore. Labor Day messed me up.
Right.
I think that's what, it's okay if you're late. Like, I don't know what day it is, what time it is. Like, the whole week is messed up.
We're all doing the best we can.
Yeah.
Kids are back in school. There's kids on the train now talking about school. And I'm like, where am I?
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you have like a little track that you could play as we prepare for this?
That's a good question. I do have a little track.
It's a little track.
I can play a little one or I can play a big. It doesn't matter. Whatever track you want.
Let's take a little pause and listen to a little song before we speak to DJ Boyish, one of the hottest DJs in New York City, and ask about what he's doing, what's coming up for him, and we're going to spill some tea about some stuff.
I love it. So what I'm going to play a track from, I guess I could still say a newer artist sort of here on the scene, but a very, very bright star who everyone is working with. He's worked with Robin Banks on her project, I believe J.R. Price as well, and Mel Lennon. A lot of talent. I've interviewed this person on my show, Redefined Radio, over at The Face, just recently, who had a lot of great things to say. This is the Push and Remix from Ricky Olsen.
Work.
You just keep pushing, pushing, pushing me away. Do you even want me, want me, want me to stay? You say I'm the reason for your problems. So I tried to be better, but you say I never solved them. Tell me why. Tell me why do you keep pushing, 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 pushing me away? Tell me that we'll be okay. Are we gonna be okay?
Pushin' Remix off of his latest project, Life Lessons, Volume 1.
Fun
shout out to Ricky Olsen.
Shout out to Ricky Olsen. And shout out to our special guest in the studio, DJ Boyish, a.k.a. Sebastian. How are you today?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm good.
It's so good to speak to you and see you. We've already complimented you on your hair. It's beautiful. During the song, we were talking a little bit about what was going on. You said that Janet Jackson was at LeBain last night?
According to Instagram and The Wall, which I clearly identified. I actually think I clocked The Wall before I saw her. But yeah, and this always happens to me on Tuesdays. I will be on Instagram seeing someone's story, like a housewife is here, and then they'll be on the roof, and I've like had no idea they're there. And then I go up to the roof, and they're usually gone.
Wow.
Woof. All the time. It's some sort of random celebrity, and I always miss it. I don't know if I'm hanging out in the booth, or I'm just, you know, there for the music and the culture. I don't care about celebrities.
Oh, my God.
Of course not.
You know, that's just, like, not anything I'm into at all.
All those little barge kids must be so insufferable. Like, oh, Janet was there last night. They all have pictures with her. Oh, my goodness.
That's, like, kind of exciting, though.
I think their whole purpose of existence is to be jealous of them. Because I'm always the little barge kids. Because, like, they're so, like, cute and pretty, and like their lives are so fun and fashionable. And like Janet Jackson just comes on a fucking Tuesday night, at your job, and you just hang out with her.
That's just your FOMO talking. I'm sure we'll run into Janet Jackson eventually.
Well, you know, maybe she'll be naked in the studio the next time we show up.
Be awesome.
Anything is possible. So, boyish. Do people ever just call you boyish?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little cringe when people call me that. That means they don't know me.
Right.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because if you know my real name, you're not going to forget it. Like,
right.
So yeah, I feel like that's a real like test of like how well we know each other.
That's reasonable.
So yeah, if you call me Sebastian, I'm like, all right, we're down. If you call me boyish, my brain is like half checked out in our conversation.
You know, one thing that must really be annoying for you, there's now a DJ called Boyish Charm.
Yes.
Who won the Glam for Best DJ. Last year, she was a drag queen turned DJ. Mm. So she was doing her boyish charm thing as a drag queen, and you were doing your boyish thing as DJ. But then she became a DJ also. So now it's like boyish and boyish. Does that ever cause A, irritation, or B, confusion, or C, none of the above?
You know, to be fair, I have never met her or been in the same space as her, and which is crazy because we both work at $3 Bill frequently.
Right.
I would have no problem meeting her. Like,
She's a lovely person.
Yeah, I mean, I can't talk about someone I've never met, so that's that's like a
But we're just judging her solely by her name, just by like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, is it annoying that, like, I don't know, people might... confuse you as being two different people, or
it's annoying when certain promoters tag me in her flyer.
Yeah, that's annoying. I probably do that a lot because I'm like constantly tagging people, and I always hit the wrong person, and people always let me know when I do that.
Believe me. I mean, no, but again, I can't say anything about someone I've never met. That's
absolutely like crazy. But you're certainly very busy doing your own thing. You're playing gigs all over the place. Like you said, $3 Bill.
Mm-hmm.
You're there a lot. You do Ty Sunderland's Sunday party there, Ty T.
Yep.
Pretty often. That always looks like everybody. I haven't been to that yet. I'm a little embarrassed to admit. But it really is.
We only have three more.
Oh, shit. I got to go.
Like ever?
Well,
for
until we hibernate.
It's a seasonal party. It's seasonal. And then it becomes the Prism, right? The Love Prism.
Yeah, then
inside.
We do Love Prism sort of monthly.
Yeah. But like Ty T, you guys always look like you're having so much fun whenever
it
I look at the stories.
It's crazy that, you know, last year it was huge because we were kind of the first party out of the pandemic.
Right.
Probably like even a little bit before we should have been technically doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We won't talk about
that. And so, So I was like, I mean, it was amazing. Like I always like slowly attributed it to that.
Right.
But then seeing it this year happen still with like other options going on.
Yeah.
It is amazing to see how it continues to grow week after week. And I'm there every single week. So it's like, it's really become this community thing. And, you know, for a little bit towards in the middle of like, let's say July, it kind of slowed down a bit because everyone's in Fire Island or everyone's traveling. But then in August, it just like ramped back up.
Oh, great.
And got busier. And so now it's just been like constant.
Everyone's going to cry when it's over. But it's going to be cold.
I mean, I'm not going to cry. I'm going to be happy to sleep again.
Do you find that you see a lot of familiar faces every
week? Yeah. I mean, a lot of familiar faces, a lot of not familiar faces. But I've loved meeting people there.
Yeah.
I like am really obsessed with this thing called Hot Asian Girl Summer, where I just like love meeting
Asian girls. So please,
yeah.
Tell
so
me
I just
more.
Meet other like Asian people. I don't know. I didn't grow up with a lot of Asian friends, and this last few years I've been having more and more of them. And I've it's become really like an exciting thing for me, which is sad.
No, that is exciting though, to like, to, you know, just
and
connect.
So yeah, every week, you know, it's like our little gang, as they like to jokingly call it, like keeps growing and growing.
Oh, that's cute.
And so yeah, it's been a fun part of my summer.
And Aquaria is there all the time. We have Aquaria, to name drop Aquaria.
She is there all the time.
Shout out to Aquaria. That's
yeah,
cool.
Let's shout out. Shout out. Absolutely. Yeah, let's also promo her and I are playing together on Saturday.
Oh, very
it's
cool.
An early one.
Oh, excellent. That is something
we'll talk about that.
We will talk about that. Bookmark. Yeah. So you are from Corpus Christi, Texas, correct?
Born and raised, yes.
What was that like?
I loved it. You know, I had a very unique experience growing up where in the rest of the United States I would be a minority, but I never thought I was a minority.
Right.
Because I grew up surrounded by Mexican people.
Right.
So it's kind of odd that I like grew up in this like little bubble down there.
Enclave, yeah.
Yeah. And I loved it. I mean, I wouldn't go back, but
right.
Very happy to grow up there, you know.
How big is Corpus Christi?
It's pretty big. It's like 350,000. We're like the okay. fifth largest city in Texas.
Okay.
Top five. We're top five. Okay. So that's not too bad.
That's where Selena's from, right?
Yes, that's right.
We love so a top a five.
Part. Absolutely. Shit. What was I going to say? Your family owned like a dance studio, right?
Yes. Yeah, they did.
That's cool. So you were always surrounded by music growing up.
I was, yeah. I think I came into DJing as a dancer first. I think that like my instincts come from that. No. But yeah, they owned a dance studio. I lived there for 2 years because we didn't like have a house.
No.
Or we were building a house. And so, yeah, I like spent all of my time there as a kid and an adult. Mostly as an employee, too. So I think from a very young age, I was an only child too. So I was like destined to be an employee.
Working 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like balancing checkbooks at 10, making deposits.
Oh my God. That's so responsible.
I know.
You were actually, after you moved here and started DJing, you stopped to because you owned a chain of, you owned some restaurants, right?
Yeah. So I owned some restaurants after that's I graduated crazy. From college.
You owned some restaurants.
I did, yes.
Some restaurants.
Some.
That's some.
Those are three key words. Owned some restaurants.
I hardly own TV dinners.
I own $112 right now. That's what I own. What tell us about these. Like, what kind of restaurants were there?
So one of them was Tex-Mex because I missed the food of Corpus.
Mm-hmm. You lot. Owned a Tex-Mex?
Mm-hmm.
Good grief, Charlie Brown.
And then the other one was an espresso bar that served Vietnamese sandwiches, because I'm also Vietnamese, and I kind of ran out of ethnicities after that. and then the other ones, I had like a food truck, and then I would do like pop-ups. But all of it was based on local food. I'm like a real dirty hippie when it comes down to it.
This was still down south.
Oh, no, this was in Ithaca, in central New York. Okay. Yeah,
yeah, I wrecked the timeline a little bit, unfortunately.
That's okay, yeah. Yeah. So I went to school in Ithaca in central New York. It's about 4 hours north of here. Where you say central, we don't say upstate.
Did you find
that's
right?
Upstate.
Did you find to us? In
yes, I know.
Bubble.
Anything above the Bronx is upstate.
White
to
upstate.
You guys
is like far for people. Right?
People they get so mad when you say that, or you say like city versus like I miss New York. Like, bitch, you're in New York.
Right.
Yeah.
No, we're in Buffalo. It's not New York. Oh, so mad.
Did you still find time to dance owning restaurant?
Yeah, so I mean, I was DJing before. I was DJing at frat houses because there weren't really clubs there. It's an Ivy town.
Right.
And their frat houses are better than actual clubs to begin with because they live in mansions.
Yeah.
But then it was becoming too much because obviously running a restaurant takes up time. So
yeah.
I stopped. I put the kibosh on that. But I played music in my restaurant, like dance music, really loud. Like it was a big part of it. Like people would come to listen to the music as well. So it was kind
brand.
Of like, yeah, I was like slowly like low-key DJing, but not.
Oh my God. So you were already doing like the New York hustle before you even got to the city. I mean,
yeah.
Running a restaurant.
And I was still coming. I was coming here a bit. I would come here at least like once every 4 months.
And you were going to like the Limelight, right?
Yeah, so in college, I came here almost every weekend. And that other bar I was telling you about that I blacked out at.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to Limelight. I was going to Studio B out in Brooklyn, which was like my favorite place to go to. I was going out a little bit back then, but not as intensely as.
Walk me through a night at Limelight, because I die for
Oh, God,
these
I don't even remember at all.
Was
Jesus,
that, long
that
ago?
Was that long ago, yeah. It was Sundays. That's all I remember. It was Sunday nights.
Okay.
Because it was called Avalon. And
Avalon. That was the party.
Yeah, yeah. Avalon was the party. And yeah, I don't I don't remember.
What are we talking? Any early 2000s here?
This would be 2003.
Right. Oh, three. So that had to be like one of the last years of its existence, like right towards the end.
And it was like I was happy to get in. So although I don't know. I felt like I got in a lot of places when I was 18. I don't know. Maybe that's a thing that changed or?
Yeah, that's changed, I think. I mean, a lot of kids got into things like drag or into like looks with heavy makeup so that they would look older. I mean, that was the pre-Drag Race. That was the original reason why a lot of people got into nightlife, was so that they can get into places underage. Gotcha. But that's not so much of a thing now, other than a few key venues.
Well, yeah, you can check back on our past episodes for that information.
We talked about that. It's funny that we talk about that with like such scorn now. I mean, there's other reasons to scorn these venues, but that was very much a regular thing, that if you were a little cute piece, they let you in.
No, I never even thought about that. Maybe totally
you've never thought about that. Literally, I'm 36 years old. I still think about being a cute little, a hot little tart.
Yeah, no,
and guys buy me drinks.
Other people did not really faze me.
It sounds like you just went to have a good time. Like you genuinely were. Just
well,
like,
I was going. I wasn't. I was the only gay person I know, so I was dragging my girlfriend with me. So that's probably why I don't like. She was, yes, very. She was very kind of her to like do that for me. Just on a Sunday night, because she had a real job too.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, you know, this is like my one night to go.
And then Monday morning, you'd be back on.
Then I'd take a bus, back to school. I had class at 1. So I'd take the 7 a.m. bus and get there by noon.
Yeah. What'd you study?
I was like a film, art, history, theater major. I changed my major like
a lot.
4 times, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got a lot of creative energy. Where'd you end up at?
I legally have a bachelor's in theater.
Legally.
Oh, nice. Yeah, but I say art history because it's a little more all-encompassing.
Absolutely. Got it.
So how did you get back into DJing? It was, I guess, fairly recently, right?
4 years ago? Yeah, the pandemic years is kind of confusing, but yeah, I think it was like four years ago. Ty wanted to start a new party, and he's like, you should start DJing again, because we've been friends and we've been hanging out a lot, and he knew I love music.
And he knew you had a background in DJing.
Yeah. So he knew like my story, and he just kind of pulled me out of retirement. I was like, oh, let's give it a go. You know, I bought equipment to like relearn it myself. It took like 2 months to kind of just get my headspace back into it. And you know, I was just opening the night. So I was playing to an empty room, which was fine. And at that point the party had only been like quarterly.
Were you like keeping up with dance music up to that point, or did
constantly. Like I was out 5 nights a week regardless at that point, so that was an easy transition for me because I'd already been going out. That's how him and I knew each other. I was already hanging out in all the booths anyways. So it wasn't a stretch for me to get back into it. And most people were pretty like, it was like a logical step.
And you were pretty much in the beginning, after you came back to DJing, you were DJing under your name, Sebastian, for a while, right? Wasn't Boyish more of a more recent
development? Yeah, Boyish was, I changed my handle to Boyish when I started DJing, but I think he was resistant about it. It's more him to be using that as my brand. And then I think that kind of caught on.
You won in the end.
Yeah, I eventually won, but it's okay. I mean,
you got your name back.
Yeah, I got it. I got it back. But yeah, it's a thing. Like Suzanne doesn't like saying it either, but it's okay.
What is wrong with that?
Maybe because it's like too much for them to process in their brain. Is like
it's
both
a lot
names.
Of Y's. Oh,
it's a lot of spelling. Yeah.
When you know, like as someone who's like constantly listing people's names on my daily updates. When they change their names, I feel like personally offended. Like, especially if I've already interviewed you and you had a name and then you change it. And I'm like, well then what the fuck was this interview where you had this other name? Like, does it still, it's like I said earlier in the podcast, I'm very petty and I hold weird grudges.
Jim likes to make things about himself.
I mean, things already are about myself. I just like to point out how they're about me. So you DJ all over the place, all over the city. We talked about $3 bill. What's been some of your favorite DJing experiences within the past few years?
You know, I got to play Webster Hall with Ty, which was incredible.
I loved Webster Hall.
Devil's Playground?
Yeah, Devil's Playground. it was very surreal to be on the stage that I'd seen so many bands at. Like, I used to be like a huge concert junkie, and I've been to Webster like a billion times. So when I was standing on the side looking out, that was probably the most surreal moment for me, because I was like, whoa, I've so many bands I've, and wonderful people I've aspired to be, have like seen the same view, and I was
there. And more importantly, that's where Glitter was filmed in one scene.
Ah, yes. Exactly. And I also had Cece Peniston yell at me that night. That was amazing.
What did she yell at you about?
I was walking through the green room, and I think she'd just gotten off stage, and she's just like, she didn't know who I was, and I think she's just like, we need to clear the room, like, we can't have any of this walking through. And I was like, I need to grab my headphones so I can do my job. And she's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, like, you can do whatever you want.
That's so sweet.
I was like, that's okay, you yelled at me, now I got a story, thank you.
And then after that was over, she said, finally.
Yeah, that's just like,
we get it, Jim.
See what I did there?
We get it. Round of applause for Jim.
I'm proud of myself for that. Listen, these are hard. Podcasts are hard. So you've also, we're at a kind of an interesting period of nightlife where things happen and they get a lot of reactions and a lot of discussions.
Yes.
You have worked in two interesting venues recently, The Q, which is right here in Manhattan, and Motel 23, which is also right here in Manhattan. That's in Chelsea. And both of those venues have been under fire recently.
I call it the cringe era.
The cringe. We're living in the cringe era.
Well, those venues are.
With those venues me. Are. It's still in the cringe. Well,
I'm living my life like it's golden. I don't want to
I'm arguably like the mayor of cringe, right? But anyway, so these venues have gotten into trouble with things like letting in underage people. That's kind of like the least of it.
Yeah.
Racist policies at the door, transphobic policies at the door, harassing the employees, harassing the talents. This is all more towards the Q. The Motel 23 is more specifically about
alleged
assault stuff and people waking up between two parked cars, not knowing where they are or how they got there.
Yes.
Sorry, and
yes. Right. Yeah. So both of these venues kind of around the same time started getting this bad press, and a lot of people have a lot of things to say about that. You know, there's only so much that you as a DJ can, you're literally standing in one place for
hours.
6 to 8 hours. Right. Mm-hmm. So you can't observe all of these things that are happening. But do you get a general vibe that something is off at all when you work in places like this?
No, because I can't speak on things I don't know. So, like, you know, like we were talking about Boys Charm, like, if I don't experience it, I can't really talk about it. So if my friends came up to me and were like, oh, XYZ happened, or if I heard it from other people, for sure, then I would, like, look into it or feel like I could have an opinion on it. But I didn't, I don't know. They're two very different places, and I have very different stories for each of them.
I bet. I can imagine.
So I want to ask about specifically about the Q, because I was hearing a lot of rumblings weeks before about you know, racism and things like that happening. I don't particularly hang out at the Q. I've been a few times, especially when they first opened. I think in the first like weekend or something I went.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until the story broke in Instinct magazine, the whole spread, that I was like, oh, this seems like it might be, you know, have some legs to it. Did you see the story in Instinct?
Yeah.
You'd heard about it?
Oh, everyone sent it to me the second it happened. Yeah, so I guess I should preface my history with them. So I started from the beginning. I was a resident there every Saturday. Supposed to be. And I pretty much was from the day they opened, which was in Pride. Yeah, it was Pride Saturday.
Pride week.
And then I worked there until November, and then haven't set foot in there since.
Okay.
So I guess I was out before this happened, but wasn't surprised when all of that came out.
Mm-hmm. So you had your own.
So I think but they're kind of similar to why everyone else left. And
so
then
you had those experiences.
I mean, with Q, it's mostly directed at Alan,
right?
And with him, I didn't have a positive experience working there. Nothing to do with like racism or anything like that. I just didn't like the way that I was being treated. Mm-hmm. There was a very like, it was a very power dynamic kind of thing.
A lot of people have spoken, just generally speaking, that he just goes around yelling at people or is very irrational, doesn't follow through with things that he's promised. Just not a professional person.
The big thing is, so as a resident, you know, I'm booked a month or two out in advance. But if I'm a resident, I block those off. Mm-hmm. And what really was not cool for me, and this has nothing to do with racism or anything, is that he would like take me off the schedule when I thought I was on. So when you mess with the girl's money, that's when we have a problem.
Before
anything
else.
Especially not with a heads up or anything. You just did it.
Yeah. Right?
So you just look at the schedule and like, oh, I'm not on the schedule. But I allotted this time.
Was there any, and I know sometimes there is, usually there's not. Did they try to give you any reason why you were suddenly off the schedule?
No, I mean, I was slowly getting phased out so I could kind of tell, but mm-hmm. I'd rather you just tell me like an adult.
You were just reading the writings on the wall, basically. Yeah. Which is the smart thing to do.
And I saw this happen to, I mean, maybe because I'm like in my mind like a booker. I'm always like checking lineups. And when I kept seeing that the lineups were increasingly getting copied and pasted because they were dropping people like flies, that's also a horrible sign.
It's a red flag.
When people are not willing to come back to that place anymore.
Yeah.
And so that was another sign for me where I didn't feel so bad about leaving it. And I mean, the only thing I did like about that place is it's four blocks from my apartment. I'm very lazy. That's the only reason I showed up here today. Let's be real.
Listen, these are very good reasons.
I love a four-block walk.
Very good reasons.
But, yeah, other than that, and just, you know, the more I'd been there, the less I won't say never, but I probably will never play there again just because I didn't generally like the vibe of it. It's a very odd place.
I mean, we'll say now, Alan is gone.
Yeah.
Right.
Luis Fernando is now general manager. I'm not actually sure. Is that his title? He's a general manager?
I believe so. No. And they've also hired a sort of community outreach sort of representative, a liaison of some sort. I forget this individual's name.
Okay.
But this all happened, you know, as it was, in my opinion, a little knee jerk.
Yeah,
you know, because it was like all of this has been happening mm-hmm. for quite some time.
And I think they're still working through the best way to get past this and to make it look like this is something that happened in the past and it's not going to repeat itself.
Well, that takes time, and you got to show me better than you can tell me.
Absolutely,
I think with a lot of people. What are your thoughts on? As I said, a lot of these people are my colleagues, I'm sure you know, people who had shows every week, cabaret singers and drag artists, drag performers, and particularly I notice my black and brown friends, you know, were sort of immediately faced with that decision of, is this really a place that I need to stay?
It's a shitty decision for anyone to have to make.
But also everyone's not booked every single night or every single week. Some people only had... You might only have a one monthly and do some guests. And so, you know, hi there, Rock. Hi there, Hard Place.
Yeah.
You know, what are we going to do? Yeah. Do you think that it was the right decision for people to sort of leave amongst the fallout at the queue?
I mean, you know, you choose your own hills to die on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in any position to tell anyone how to make their decisions. Mm-hmm. You do whatever you live with. I mean, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's key. And I think that's a lesson that a lot of people should get from this is that you do what you do, what you got to do for yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really tell people what they should do.
Yeah.
Because you don't really know what's the best situation is.
You don't.
A lot of these people did stay and now they have shows in the new era of the queue. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a good thing. And the people who left because they were disgusted by it are probably better off that they left.
Right.
So everyone should be happy and we should stop judging people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Doing this or that thing. Okay. We talked about that for a while. You know, this is funny. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about. I always liked this musical band. I just think it was a band, but it's mostly just one person. Emergency Tiara.
Oh, yes.
I love them. I watched a lot of their videos on YouTube. I remember they came and played in Stonewall a few years ago. And I just always liked that singer, Jury, her name is?
Yeah.
She just had a lot of personality. I got to interview her once. A
lot of personality.
I found out you were her manager. You were that group's, or I don't know if you are or were.
I was.
Oh, man, we should be talking about this. This is something I should have
No, heard. That's fine. I don't care. No, I was up until June.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing that for 3 years.
Yeah.
Super fun. I got to travel the world. I went to Cannes, Tokyo, like everywhere. Yeah. And yeah, it was an interesting experience. You know, I really, as an artist myself, like it's fun. I think of maybe from owning businesses, I think about artist management, like how do I manage myself? How do I manage the business? Like I think of a person as a business. And so it was interesting to do that for someone else. And I think it's something I'm like still curious to keep doing for others.
So you would do that again?
I'm really into like artist development. I mean, I really want to be a booker, which is, I feel like the best way to enact the change I want in nightlife.
Totally.
You know,
that is a hard job though. Like you have to have a lot of connections and you have to like
stay
really
abreast of who's doing what and who's where.
And you have to be able to make the best, find the best fit for the right people. Right. It's a challenge.
It's exciting. This is the first Emergency Terror was the first act you've managed.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That was very serendipitous.
They did pretty well and still doing well. So I'm sure they've
been around for a while. You've interviewed them. I've interviewed them for another publication many, many years ago, more than 3 years ago. So
excellent.
Been setting out, making the mark. I used to be in touch with their PR before. So still in touch with their PR.
So tell us, DJ Borsch.
Oh, I want to
absolutely
ask
go for it.
It's a bit more appropriate.
Go for it.
So you and I have something in common, even though we just met.
Yes,
we both have shows on over at the Face Radio now.
Yes,
and you're friendly, I imagine, with Trey, DJ Trey D'Ambrosia, and Gant.
Yep,
I'm sure
they got me in.
Yeah, so they got me in as well a year or so ago. Trey and I have known each other for 100 years, and I just hosted their DJ Gant's 54th birthday over at Come On Everybody.
Yeah, how was that?
It was great. No, it was Friday night. The crowd, it was magic. I was joined by Vanity Zoe. This was the fourth party they've thrown, the third one that I've hosted and emceed.
No.
And we just did pop-up numbers and looks on looks. I can't wait for you guys to see the footage because it's all like professional. I didn't realize we were going to have like professional camera people there and like all of this stuff.
Hello, but documentary.
That's my sister's show. Yes, she did. My show is Redefined Radio. And now you're joining us, I think, just in the past couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, this is going to be my third or fourth. Fourth one?
But
yeah.
The show you've been doing for a while.
Yeah, I've been doing it for years.
And it is, remind me the name of the show, I'm sorry.
Breakfast with Boyish.
Breakfast with Boyish. Mm-hmm. You're going to be on Thursdays.
Yep.
Thursday
morning, yeah. 10 to noon.
Noon, yeah. Right before Yes, She Did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exciting. Congratulations.
I know. I love it there. It's been really nice. It's kind of nice. I mean, I've been doing my show for so long, so it kind of feels nice to like reinvigorate yourself being in a new space. And being in a nice space too.
It is really nice.
There's plants. Oh my, there's plants. There's sunlight. It's just
natural
like
natural light.
It's gorgeous. I know. I used to like the radio station before was like kind of in a dungeon where it was like covered by flies all the time. And this is a welcome change.
The managers have a thing about us keeping it night, and they will let us know on the chat if we don't keep it together.
The station's right by $3 Bill, right? Mm-hmm. Studio. Yeah. That's cool. So do you ever get confused when you're walking there? Like, oh God, am I going to the studio?
I mean, I do have to walk by. Yeah, I have to walk by it's like walking by your ex-boyfriend like all the time. Like every Thursday morning. It's like, hey girl.
What can we expect from Breakfast with Boyish?
So Breakfast with Boyish is a show where I play music strictly from the 80s and 90s.
Oh, cool.
Of all electronic genres, I'm like a huge music nerd and I just love digging and finding like obscure music of all types. But mostly dance music. My show used to be about the history of dance music in New York specifically, but you know, after a while I ran out of music. So now it expands into other cities. It could be Euro House. It can be UK electronic music, Chicago, Detroit. And it just, you know, it's kind of like taken on a life of its own from where I started it. Mm-hmm. And it's been I love it. Like, I love doing it because I get to play music I never get to play out. And it's just, you know, fun for me to, like, play music. Sometimes some of the songs I haven't completely heard out, so I'm, like, hearing it for the first time as well, which is super exciting. And so, yeah, I spend, like, you know, before I got here, I was sorting all the songs and getting everything ready. And, yeah, it's kind of, like, my release of the week and just get to, like, nerd out for 2 hours.
Yeah, it. I think you'll get a lot of play from the team as well.
Because
I love stuff like that. Are you going to be doing that? My show's pre-taped for Wednesdays.
Oh, yeah, so mine's live.
You're going to be live.
I wake my ass up every Thursday.
Early? That is so early.
And I live here, so you know how long it takes to get there.
Do you have, like, fun office parties there, like Christmas parties?
We haven't. I didn't do any Christmas parties this past because everyone... Even when I was over at Stonewall, we canceled it because we were afraid that people would get COVID.
Omicron,
so they didn't want us all in the same room together because then we wouldn't have a staff. But I just joined in January, so maybe we'll see.
I think Gant he's trying to do an afters party next month.
Like a DJ showcase.
Yeah.
There, hopefully I'll be out. I'll be booked at, like, some spots with them at Exley and things like that down the line. Yeah. So Trey does a lot of work to, you know, to keep things moving. Shout out to Trey.
DJ Boyish, where can we find you in the near or distant future?
You can find me at On Top every Tuesday at LeBain. I say LeBain, not LeBan.
It's LeBain, right?
We're in America.
Depending on who you ask. I've also heard it called LeBain.
LeBain.
That was from an obviously a tourist.
I like that too.
Which I didn't hate. It made me laugh, so good for them.
Tuesdays at LeBain.
Yes. On the 15th, I'll be throwing my biannual party called Melanina at Jupiter Disco.
Oh, cute. Oh,
I do it only on Cinco and Dieciséis. Those are two, like, major Hispanic holidays. It's just a night of playing any type of Latin music, which I love because I also don't ever get to play that too often.
Cool. Send me the poster.
And then I have a event at $3 Bill's New Space. They have a third space, which was formerly The Well.
Right.
They recently remodeled that.
Next door.
Yeah, next door.
Yeah.
And I'm having an event there on the 23rd.
Yeah.
No, it's not named yet, but it's going to be, like, all back-to-back DJs with a bunch of Brooklyn DJs, so I'm excited for that, too.
Yeah, now they can have... They usually had, like, three parties running in $3 Bill at the same time. Now they can have, like, six.
Yeah. So, oh, I know. Brenda will, like, buy the whole block. She'll, right? She'll throw a block party outside if she could.
Absolutely. That's amazing and incredible. So there's so many places where we could see and hear you. That's excellent. Follow your socials. Where can the children find you?
You can follow me on Instagram, Boyish, triple Y. I post all of my events on there, usually the day of, because I don't want to dominate your life.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you can find me out and about.
Right, but triple Y, because if triple you do Y, DJ yeah. Boyish, you'll find a different DJ. Excellent. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me. I had so much fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And thank you for keeping it close to my apartment. That's the only reason.
He asked us, you could do this anywhere in the city. Where would you like to do it? Like, it needs to be in a 4-block radius from...
I think,
DJ
you
Boyish.
Know what, I think I got that from Suzanne, because Suzanne also doesn't leave, like, a perimeter. She keeps it real tight. She likes it.
Very smart.
Suzanne doesn't come to New York. New York comes to
exactly,
Suzanne.
Exactly, yes. So, you know, I learn from the best.
Absolutely. Freddie, do you have a song for us?
I do have a song for us. I am going to put on, I don't have much of an introduction for this individual, but I enjoy his music very much, and I think a lot of other people do as well. Let's just get into it.
My breath is bated.
Electric Pussy by Boy Radio.
Okay. Mm. Thank you, Boyish.
Elevated disco runway. Whoa. Elevated disco runway.
Got a blast.
Elevated disco runway.
It's the
elevated disco runway.
Yeah.
Elevated disco runway.
You already know what it is. So you already know what it is.
Elevated disco runway.
Into the red light district. Sweet like cherry, same color as the lipstick. Gotta kill a cat, yeah, the booty on my hit list. Cream that I whip it, milkshake, bring all the boys to the yard. And I just seen radio on the boulevard. Perks and Bacardi got me feeling real good. Worship my body like I'm literally God.
pray to the pray to the princess. I'm a skinny legend in my thin dress. I'm the mister in the mistress. I'm feeling myself as that incest. Crazy which bitch wanna taste the potion. Hey. Bitch, I might switch which locomotion. Elevated bars, yeah, I cause commotion. A prince to a queen runway promotion.
Elevated runway on the disco got me feeling like that bitch all the chicks wanna talk about. So fly in the club, can we talk about it? All night having fun. Electric pussy. After hours, so much booty and these flashy lights. Hashtag not drunk, 7 million likes. Filter that turned up, 7 million likes. On my billions fine.
Elevated disco run wild.
You try to play me, no baby, this kitty so electric. You want this kitty, who does it better? I'm
elevated.
Shining like I'm Crisco. PayPal me my invo. I'm your sugar baby. It's official. Shining. You know my body like a disco ball. See, I'm a summer baby. I don't ever fall. You want to meet me in the bathroom? Style, style, style. Yo, I feel elevated. Lift me.
Electric Pussy by Boy Radio. You're listening to the Thought Light Podcast.
There's a lot of boy action happening in the studio today. We saw a naked boy, eh?
Yes.
Then we had DJ Boyish.
With three Ys.
We talked about Boyish Charm. And we played Boy Radio.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Boy, oh boy.
And now we're going to get into the news.
Boy, oh boy. So we have lots of cute little things to talk about in the news.
Are they cute?
We should get some bumper music for the news later.
We should. Yes, I'll have my assistant make a note.
Make a note, assistant. Yes, most of them are cute. One of them. I don't know. I don't think it's
some
so bad.
Not so well, I don't know. We'll figure that out as we go.
We'll get there. The Creative Arts Emmys were on. I don't know if they even air them on TV. You could probably find them online somewhere. They're not the Emmys. They're right. like a pre-show to the Emmys. Where
because there's a ton of Emmys. Like they give out tons and tons of Emmys.
Right. Drag Race won a few. I'm not actually sure what, but they always win. I think they might have won like best reality show or best reality competition.
Okay.
But We're Here. That's the show on HBO that stars Bob the Drag Queen mm-hmm. and Shangela and Eureka O'Hara, where they go around
The country.
To all the rural areas
yes.
and do drag shows. That one for makeup and wardrobe. And that's kind of a big deal.
Congratulations.
Very cool. Absolutely. But one of the... that fades out nicely. One of the people that were honored was Casey Caldwell, who is a Brooklyn-based designer. Designed a lot of stuff for Drag Race.
Right. Over the years.
Over the years. Mm-hmm. Has a really interesting style. A lot of the things that he designs look like aliens that attach themselves to you. Like, it looks like they almost have, like, faces Crazy. And stuff. And lots of, like, weird tentacle shit coming out of it. I love it. And he's really sweet. He's a sweetheart. I met him a bunch of times. He's friendly with Scarlet Envy and a lot of, like, the old school.
Yeah,
Brooklyn
and also Lilith Lefay, who he's in the picture with on Instagram.
Yes, Lilith got to go to the Emmys. I'm so happy for
that's,
her.
That's really exciting. I mean, it's always great to see New York
Absolutely.
Talent be recognized. Because that's an important part of the community, too. Behind the scenes, we couldn't do all of this crazy shit without them.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, when they give, like, makeup awards to, like, Drag Race, that's always, like, you know, a lot of people. It's like 100 people.
It's
like all the contestants on the show and all the people that yep. work in the studio. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see, like, Casey just, like, you know, in a suit on the stage yeah. with, like, four or five other guys all holding their statues. It's great. It's a happy moment. So that's good. Bittersweet.
Oh, yeah, this one's a sad item. One.
Sort of. But it's, one, yeah. it's Laguna Blue,
right.
New York's favorite singing Queen Laguna Blue mm-hmm. is going to be leaving us for a few months. She's moving to LA, but not for long. She should be back by Halloween-ish.
Ooh, for spooky season.
Spooky season. But she's leaving for a cool reason. She is going to be recording the cast album and performing the whole run of Drag the Musical out there in Hollywood, September 23rd through October 15th at the Bourbon Room in California.
Now, this is produced by
Alaska.
Alaska. Are we just calling Alaska, Alaska now?
I don't know. It's like
Alaska 3000, Alaska Thunder. I'm just asking. I like all the names.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I they just want to know where we are. I don't check my emails enough. I don't, know.
Well, until another Alaska shows up, which, you know, that could happen.
I think this is, or yeah, like a Detroit Thunderfuck, I guess.
Absolutely.
Right? This is cool, though. It's a pretty lengthy run, almost a month.
Yeah.
I don't know where the Bourbon Room is.
It's somewhere out there in LA. I don't know. It's in Hollywood, I think.
Okay.
But Jan's going to be in it, too. Jan mm-hmm. Sport, Peppermint, Jackie Cox, all mm-hmm. people that I love. They could all sing. They're all great. I don't know if Alaska wrote the whole thing or if she wrote it in tandem with people, but it's going to be original musical, drag queens. I'm sure it'll make its way out here to New York soon enough.
And then she'll become Alaska Sondheim. It'll
and
be great.
She'll be the most famous drag queen who's never been on Drag Race.
Drag has been mainstream for a while now, and it's great to see it expand, I think, in this way, continue to expand, because there's been, you know, we have some of these here in New York, Distorted Disney, I would sort of put in that category. I think it was Laguna and Jan who did Stephanie's Child.
Stephanie's Child with Rosé.
Yeah, with Rosé.
A drag racer.
Yeah, back in the day. And This is always a win, I think, just for the nightlife culture.
Stephanie's Child, that little threesome they have a huge following.
Yeah.
Because they were also on America's Got Talent.
Right.
And they fought with Simon. That was really funny. Mm-hmm. And they were on The Voice, not as contestants, but another queen was a contestant.
And they were...
And they like showed up and did a number with her like towards the end of the show.
Oh, I knew America's Got Talent.
And Jesse J was in the number too. It was cute.
Oh,
good times.
Good for them. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Another drag happening that we could talk about. Very happy news. The Continental Pageant went down in Chicago during Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. That's Miss Continental. That's like the big national pageant that they used to be the one that everybody knew about and cared about before Drag Race was on.
Right.
And still like the most prestigious.
Of the pageants.
Of the pageants.
Yeah. What do you think about these pageants, Jim?
I mean, you know, it's something that you're either really, really into or you're just kind of like, okay. I mean, when I see the pictures of the girls and I see footage, like, oh, wow, she looks great. She looks gorgeous. I mean, they spend thousands of dollars.
Thousands. And time.
And time.
Just man hours.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes literally gluing
yeah.
things onto dresses.
Yeah. I appreciate, like, the tradition of it, and I appreciate that people get really excited about it. So I'm glad it's there.
I wonder if it's a situation where people will start to get a little more excited about it with things like Drag the Musical happening. I mean,
maybe.
A lot of things continue to draw attention to the drag stratosphere, and, you know, people like to rabbit hole.
Absolutely. I'm just going to speak on who some of the winners were. Miss Continental Elite, that's the over 40 category, like subcategory. Layla LaRue won that. Congratulations. Then they have a Mr. Continental, that's dudes, just presenting as dudes, and that was Sivan Sanchez. Mm-hmm. Good for him. Miss Continental Plus, that's contestants over 225 pounds, although I look at a lot of these bitches, they
don't look it.
No, they look slim.
Right.
I mean, I guess that is pretty slim, like, for a man that's not so big.
Well, how it depends. You know, everybody holds their weight differently.
Exactly. Rachel Meredith won that. Our local Empress Vizcaya was up for that. She was in town. She's great. She's a lips gal. And Miss Continental, that's the main event. Sonia Diaz from Florida won that.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. And a special shout out to our local Pattaya Heart. She was second runner up, so that's like third place.
Right.
And Octavia Anier was also participating in the pageant. Good for her. She's always a great beauty. And Jenna Tall from Atlanta City was also there. So that's our local representation in Miss Continental. And congratulations to everybody.
Yes.
Okay, now let's talk about this next story.
Okay.
So this is the meme seen around the world. It's an amazing incident that happened at a ballroom event in Chicago, care of the House of Delcour. Freddie's shaking his head in dismay and playing sound effects. So this is
before we retire them. I have to get as many of these in as possible because next week we're obviously going to.
It could be a whole new board. That's right. So it's kind of a hard story to explain, just because it's just very visual and we don't really have all the information. It's just a strange thing. So they had this event.
Yes.
It's a ballroom event. $10,000 was the prize money that would go to the House. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yes. That is a fair.
An unusual amount of money. I think they're usually like $1,000.
Yeah,
right?
It was the House of Delcour's Black Card Four Ball.
Right.
And the category was Butch Queen Face.
Butch Queen Face. And Butch Queen is your male presenting.
Yes.
I don't exactly know what Butch Queen Face is. I don't know if that's a give face or...
According to Queerty, it's for cis men to sell a prize-winning photos. Well, this was what it was for cis men.
Right.
Let's put it that way. But you were selling a prize-winning... They were selling a prize-winning photo spread ready mug.
Okay, so it's mostly
so
just
that's
like
the idea.
It's like a face modeling, basically.
Basically, yes.
Yeah. So one of them comes out and doesn't win. So again, to underscore the fact, this is the House of Delcour,
mm-hmm.
and the person competing was from the House of Delcour. Tony Delcour. His house was sponsoring the event, and he lost.
Right.
Not by much. I think it was just by one judge's score.
Right. But he was selling Hellraiser.
Right. And he got really upset that he lost. But it was actually his boyfriend,
right,
also from the House of Delcour, who there's footage of this that was shared all over social media. He just kind of walks up to the judge's panel and sprays them with Bear Mace and
yes.
walks away.
Yeah, it was wild. The footage, I first saw it on Twitter via Tens magazine because they, you know, Tens is very in touch with the ball culture. Right. I've interviewed Saley and talked about it before. Actually, I would love to talk to Saley about this.
Oh, we should.
It was the judge who chopped, it was a single judge, it was Vinny Margiela.
Right.
Vinny used to go by a different name, though. And I'm not sure what the name was. Anyway, that was the chop. And before the Bear Mace-ation of it all, the incident happened, Tony had actually approached the judges panel, you know, in a sort of hostile way, and I think was led away. So this was, unfortunately, a lot of people weren't surprised when Tony's significant other...
Right.
Showed up with Bear Mace to a ball. No. What are you doing, sir?
I don't know. People are saying, like, oh, it was premeditated. I mean, of course it's fucking premeditated.
You think it was premeditated?
Well, you're going to bring a can of Bear Mace. I mean, you're basically bringing a can of Bear Mace saying either you're going to get, like, jumped by a bunch of bears after the ballroom or, like, I'm going to use this. If we don't win, I'm going to use this on
just
somebody.
Just a second. Sorry. Being jumped by a bunch of bears is not the worst
not
thing
always
that
could a bad
happen
thing.
To me. But in this case, no. That's not what we want.
No jockstraps, just the bears.
Everyone's sort of also asking, how did this person get in with the bear? I mean, from the balls that I've seen, security is usually pretty proficient here in New York, but I don't think anyone is expecting. What makes this incident so unfortunate for me is that I think ballroom is at a time where it's absolutely on the up and up.
Right.
Lil Nas X just started his tour last night and apparently just blew everybody away with, you know, including ballroom, I think to one of Beyonce's newer records or something to the extent.
And now you had Pose, which helped bring it into the mainstream.
As well as
I don't
Legendary.
Want to say the mainstream, it's not in the mainstream, but it helped.
As well as Legendary.
Legendary.
But I'm gonna keep it a buck. Now I have white friends texting me about trying to go to balls because of Beyonce. Now they're not getting that info from me because that's not how this works. But
I'm so into Voguing right now. I just want to know.
And then all the articles about, you know, how Beyonce is bringing Boom back and da-da-da-da, which not true, but you know, it's appealing to a new audience.
It's part of a larger conversation and the stakes are higher. So
stakes
I think
are much higher.
Some people are, you know, the emotions run high
Yeah. So this is disappointing for me, but no less bizarre. Now, Tony was in the house that was hosting this event.
Yeah.
It was put on by Fred Delacour, is the house father. They've done this event several times. Some allege that Delacour members then protected this person from retaliation in the parking lot because Tony was allowed to just leave sort of unscathed, is what happened. And I understand that the boyfriend was too. The Bear Mace person was too.
Yeah, well, I think they were escorted. I think it was a family affair. They just escorted them out. And they were apparently kicked out of the house at the end.
So yes.
There was repercussions.
There was repercussions. And then the house is also donating to charity $10,000. You know, as part of the display, the house has also pledged $10,000 additional dollars to be donated to charity, is what, again, according to Queer Tea says. And they've both been removed from the house. Why would you do that at your own?
I don't know.
You know, it's sort of like, would you pee on the floor of your own living room?
I don't know, man. But let me tell you,
seriously, it doesn't make sense.
I've never judged a ball of men. I'm certainly not qualified to do that. It's very complicated to me. There's so many categories.
You have judged, though.
But I've judged many, many, many things. And it used to annoy me at first when they would always put the judges like all the way in the back or all the way up on the balcony. But I came to soon realize that that's actually a really good thing.
It was, yeah.
Once that fucking thing is over, you can
run out of there.
Everybody's mad at you.
Yeah. Well, what I loved about Lady Liberty,
we'll
talk about, you know, our experience.
Lady Liberty.
Lady Liberty is nice because you don't have to say anything to these people.
Yes.
You can just sit. You had me as a guest judge, which thank you for that. It was a great experience.
It was fun.
And I did speak to a couple of the artists after the fact that I thought was really good. Yeah. The winner for that night was Marsha, who was really, really fantastic.
Yes.
We're
going to be seeing a lot more of her soon, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yes.
But, you know, there's other competitions where you do have to critique.
Yes. Well, in the ball, you have to hold up the numbers, right?
You have to hold up the numbers, yes.
And you don't have to say anything, but you have to be accountable for your score in front of
everyone. They can clearly see you.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Tony had, you know, approached the judge that chopped.
Yeah. I would be so fucking pissed. Like, obviously, everybody would, but like if somebody like maced me, like I'm probably not getting paid to be there. I'm just doing it for the love.
It ruins it for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, now there's no show. Now the people who spent hundreds or maybe thousands of dollars on looks don't get to present.
No.
Don't get to, you know, the audience they came out to see. And it's just such poor sportsmanship. Yeah. There's no other way to say it because these competitions, there is a level of sportsmanship that you have to have.
Absolutely.
It's sort of shocking.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, it was handled. They were gotten rid of. Now, if Pose teaches us anything, they're going to start their own house, and it's going to be like a badass thing, and we can follow that narrative.
Well, Twitter's very good at keeping receipts, so
sure.
I'll say that much. God bless them. That footage is never going to die.
Absolutely. It's weird. It's weird footage because it's like from the point of view of the jury.
It's very weird. I haven't seen any footage from like an audience member, which I guess shows that people aren't really on their phones. They're very present.
Who the hell in the judge's box is going to be like filming? I don't know. That's kind of tacky to me. I wouldn't film. If I was a judge, I wouldn't be like,
I don't think it was.
Camera.
Yeah. I don't think it was. It wasn't a judge. Otherwise, we'd
see
Mace.
Just from the perspective.
Yeah. Okay. On someone's phone.
Tacky.
I hope they're okay.
Oh, well. But Freddie, there's a lot of things going on in the city today. I'm going to run through a list.
I love what's going on in the city. What do you got for me, Jim?
Absolutely. Well, assuming that tonight is Monday, the 12th, you could theoretically go see Trixie and Katya at Radio City, but chances are it's sold out. but tomorrow on the 13th, you can come to Atlas Social Club and see me sitting there while nerds play games. It is my weekly game night, level up game night at Atlas Social Club, starting at 8 p.m. It's a lot of fun, very laid back. Friday on the 16th, aboard the Circle Line, it is the Bears Ahoy boat party, care of the Urban Bear Weekend. That's right, the Urban Bear Weekend.
Yes, Urban Bear Weekend starts this Thursday.
It's this weekend.
Yeah.
And they don't really have a whole lot of things happening. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Well, but enough. I think, for the community. Did you hear about the bar crawl?
They just posted that, yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't available by press time.
It was not available by press time.
Basically, they're going up and down Christopher Street, and they're going
everywhere.
To a lot of bars.
Ties,
not even necessarily.
Julius, yeah. Stonewall.
It's from like 7 p.m. to close. They're going to spend like 20 minutes at most of the bars along Christopher Street.
Yeah.
So that's fun. So also what's happening that night, at the Deep End is going to be Bear Milk, which isn't officially a Urban Bear Weekend party, but I think they're just kind of, paying them some money so that they could be included in the flyers.
Ride the wave.
That's right. Saturday is the bear crawl that we talked about. Also Saturday, Meet at $3 Bill. DJs Danny Verd and CZ Hernandez are going to be doing that. That's Jake Resnikow's monthly circuit party.
Do you like Meat, Jim?
I love Meat. Mm. Saturday at the House of Yes, Saturday the 17th, is going to be a party that they have called Glitterati. Ultra Natte is going to be there. Do you remember Ultra Natte?
Vaguely.
Because I'm free to do what you want to do.
Yes, now I remember. Yeah.
She has that, and she had another big song. What the hell is the other big song?
I don't know. I could hardly remember that
one. It had a long title. But medicine? She, which one?
Medicine? She's like medicine?
I don't know, maybe. She was not going by Ultra Natte. She was like in a group. Mm. And the song had a long title. I fucking forget what it was. I'll look it up later. Not like that.
Very appropriate. House of Yes.
That's right. But come see Ultra Natte at House of Yes on Saturday the 17th. Also on Saturday the 17th, Mercury and Reggaeton at Holo. Is that how you say the name of that club?
I believe
H0L0,
so.
Holo?
I call it Holo.
Holo. Holo. Oh, that works. H0L0, Holo. That's Lucas Skywalker and Damn Steven are presenting that. So Mercury and Reggaeton, you can kind of guess what that music is going to be. So go there if you want it. Absolutely. Urban Bear Weekend continues on the Sunday the 18th at the Little West 12th area for the Urban Bear Weekend Street Fair Party. That's like the big event they have there.
That is probably going to be DJ Chauncey.
Probably going to be DJ Chauncey. Hey, Chauncey. My friend Viva Fidalia might be in town for that. Mm-hmm. So come to that. That's always a fun thing. And there's also a beer blast for Urban Bear Weekend on Sunday later after the street fair at Rock Bar. So stop in for that.
I haven't been to a good beer blast in like before the pandemic because I would day drink like at the pier or something and then walk over to like maybe the Eagle or the Rock Bar or wherever and just drink beer for my afternoon evening. Yeah. Drinking.
Well, they're gonna love you down there for Urban Bear Weekend. They're gonna pass you around like a hot potato.
I'm just gonna dress like a honeypot and just see what happens. Well, a honeypot thong.
Absolutely.
That's
no
it.
Bother. Absolutely. That's gonna work.
And maybe a wig.
Absolutely. I'll be dressed as Piglet. anything to add, Freddie? Anything you want to tell the children? Where can they find you? Where can they see you? What's going on in Freddie Land?
Oh, I also want to shout out on that Monday, the 19th, is Vinyl Fantasy Presents.
All right.
They're changing it up a little bit. They're doing a versus sort of situation with boy bands. I think it's Millenniums versus No Strings Attached, okay. And that's over at $3 Bill as well.
We'll talk more about that next week when, quote unquote, it will be happening that night.
Oh, that night. Oh, yeah. I forget because of the taping of it all. I don't know.
It's very confusing.
I don't know where we are. Where
it's the multiverse, girl. It's the multiverse.
Anyway, well, some more on that next week. As for me, my new show just debuted, the premiere of my other show just debuted, Redefined Radio, this past Wednesday. So you can check that out in the archives over on thefaceradio.com. My first guest, Jace Vegas. Join me for an exclusive interview. And coming up later this month, I chat live with Kobe Cole.
Fun.
And from Time Out Magazine, Adam Feldman, the theater critic. So excellent. It's going to be a really, really exciting month. And that's every Wednesday over at 4 o'clock over at The Face Radio.
Children, if I read that list too fast, you can come see those events. And every single queer nightlife event in New York City and New Jersey on thotisey.com. It's thotisey. .com. Follow me on all the socials or just go straight to the site. I'm Jim Silvestri.
I'm Freddie Cosmo.
And have a wonderful week. We have to think of a better thing to say at the end of the show. Okay, bye. Play a song. What are we playing, by the way? Sorry, pressure.
Taking us out is, someone who I think will be sorely missed on their run over in Cali. It's Laguna Blue, Greedy With My Love.
Yay, Laguna. Bye.
From across the room, yeah. Now I am locking eyes with you. They say you want me close and that you'd never let me go, but there's something you should understand. Before you try to be my man, I really need to mention I crave all of your attention, 'cause I
wanna go to some place we could be alone. It's hard not to agree with your hands all over me. So I'll give it up to you tonight, cause you won't catch me telling lies. I think you got potential, but I'll keep it confidential, cause I don't mean to be malicious, but I start to get suspicious when I see your eyes. Cause I'm